change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I am your host, Mickey Desai, speaking with Emily Hicks Rotella again about topics and technology. How are you doing, Emily?
Doing well. I'm so excited to keep talking about this.
Yeah. Emily, you describe yourself as a nonprofit data and tech strategist. What does that mean exactly?
Well, in layman's terms, it means that I quit my full-time work in nonprofit after about 10 years and just didn't want to work for just one nonprofit. I'm really interested in learning about all different kinds of missions and processes and bringing them together. So in other words, I am a nonprofit consultant.
Right. Exactly. Is it rewarding? I mean, is making that shift from working from one organization to several, I'm sure that was challenging in the beginning, but the rewards must be incredible.
Yes, absolutely. Although they're different than having switched from the private sector to the public sector. The rewards gained there were different, but being able to have flexibility for myself, for my family, and working in the kind of relationships I get to have with multiple nonprofits and to bring together knowledge from those to help make my work better, that's, yes, incredibly rewarding. I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
What kind of projects do you do for nonprofits?
My company is quite young still, so I think I'm still fleshing that out a bit. But I think about my work in sort of three tiers. Mm-hmm. First tier is that I'm trying to make some sort of offerings out of the work I've done in person over a long time with nonprofit that could kind of make it more bite-sized and more on demand for people. So that's my sort of learning and development side, where I have some webinars that are short, you know, interactive knowledge sharing. I have some products that are supposed to be able to be done on your own without me, but with options to, you know, ask questions, of course. And just some things in the works that might look like more like experiences instead of right. Just like an online course, an experience with the community.
Right. No, what I was thinking about with that question was, We're not just talking website development. We're not just talking cleaning up spreadsheet or cleaning up data. If I were to look at your menu of offerings, and what would I order from that menu?
So, well, that might be the first one. If you're looking just for some extra PD and some skill building, that learning and development side might be. And then there's two more like higher touch services that I offer. So one is short-term projects, one is long-term relationships. And I think what you're asking is within those, what kind of work happens?
Yeah. So, I just want to give the audience some sort of indication of, because these, you know, I imagine that a lot of nonprofits are going to think about hiring a tech consultant, but they don't know what for, right? Mm. Like, so what kind of project would a nonprofit be looking at that would be a good reason to call you?
That's a great question. I'm going to have to really put my elevator pitch into this as much as possible. But for long-term relationships, meaning 12 to 24 months or even beyond, I want to be a culture changer within the organization or a culture enhancer. We will work on lots of projects, and I'll talk about what they could look like, which also could be short-term projects. But with those long-term relationships, there are certain things that I have found make for really positive data and tech cultures and help really drive missions using those tools to support them. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would like to work on with organizations. But that takes time. So within that, there's individual projects that could happen. Choosing new vendors, right? You may have something that works or not, but you're thinking you need to change. So you want to look at your needs. You want to look at different vendors' offerings. Obviously, you look at your budget, putting together the whole every demo, and then choosing and implementing a vendor, a solution, which could be a single tech vendor, right, a software, or it could be a combination of things that cover, like a combination of tools and processes that cover your needs.
Sure.
So that would be an example.
Sure. So we're talking everything from CRM to other program-related databases and everything in between.
Yep. And then even more granular, there might be just some processes you want to automate. A great project I've been on recently is taking a paper-based and then sometimes a form-based admissions process and moving it totally digital, integrated with the CRM, email automations, things like that. So that's kind of a more medium-sized project. But even just down to like, I love the projects I get where someone says, like, we know we need something better, but like this Excel nightmare that we're in is not working for us. I say, oh, every Excel nightmare to me is an opportunity to show you the possibilities of what you yourself can use these tools to do. And even when you're looking beyond Excel to move on to vendors, what the possibilities are.
Right. So what are the ways that we can encourage nonprofits to get the most value from their consultants? I'm not sure that's a fair question.
Absolutely. They should get the most value. I think I wrote to you that the number one thing that comes to my mind when asked that question is to have really good documentation. There is a lot of knowledge transfer and knowledge building that should be happening. I mean, you're bringing in consultants because you don't have either the capacity or the like knowledge and skill in-house to do whatever you need to do. Mm-hmm. But you are not hiring consultants to buy you a CRM. You are hiring consultants to be part of the mission of connecting with your constituents. Their skill is in data and tech and CRMs, but they need to really be bought into making sure that the knowledge that they have of that stays with you, who has the knowledge of your mission.
Right. I like that. You're not just buying them to help. You're not just hiring them to help you buy a CRM. You're hiring them to help you be effective in your mission.
Yes. And I think that is key when you're talking to consultants. So I have a question that I like to ask in any kind of initial talk I have with a potential client or someone I've worked with before. It's, what do you love most about your job? Yes, you're going to get some about process, like some about how I like to learn on the job or I like the people, but you'll also get a lot about what's most important about that person's work driving the mission. And that's key. That's where you want to have impact. Whatever, I think of tech data and tech work as helping make people's work move more efficiently and effectively. And that's where you want to make sure that you are making the most impact on efficiently and effectively supporting what that person does best and loves to do when they're working towards their mission.
Right. When we're talking about documentation, what kinds of things should we be documenting?
Oh boy. Okay. There is a layer of story to the documentation. So some things that you might've heard, you know, in the tech world or from consultants, you want your user stories, you want your case studies, just plain examples. And that's really important. And in fact, I think that's a place where the nonprofit as the partner has a lot of leeway to contribute to that documentation.
How is a case study relevant to data processes? How is that case study relevant to me picking a CRM, for instance?
It's a great question. I'm trying to think of a really cool example or analogy, but it's sort of like if you need to go shopping and get certain supplies and I say, oh, I've got a cool spreadsheet for that. And I give you like a budget manager spreadsheet. Yeah. I get it. You need a budget when you're going shopping, but that's not what you needed to help you like pick out the groceries for your recipes. You needed a system that was going to integrate that information and take into consideration your budget. So really getting down to those case studies is helps the technologist on the project, whoever that is, in-house, out-house, and both, to know that what's most important about what you're doing. And it's not whether or not, it's very important to know like whether or not your data is being stored in the right way or the way that works best, or that people have logins and can actually access their system. That's all important to these projects.
Right.
But if a person logs in, if you fix that and it doesn't give them any information that it's actually important to them for their work, then the work on, you know, securing the logins wasn't as effective as it could have been.
Right. Exactly. You talk about the concept of a parking lot, parking the ideas that you may want to move on, but can't right now. why is, I'm struggling with the next question. Obviously, why is that important? But what kinds of ideas would go in a parking lot? And technology being what it is these days, I guess the question I want to ask is, why can't I just achieve everything all at once?
That's such a good question. Thank you so much for asking it. There's so many great reasons to have a parking lot or just work on this concept. So in a previous conversation we had, we talked about the pace of change. Mm-hmm. And so we know that programs have pace of change. There's always going to be different things that are in the pipeline. Like maybe we have a donor who might want this. We're not sure. You can't work on it right now, but you don't want to lose track of it. So just the like your basic get things done, you know, don't lose track of it. That's one benefit of a parking lot. Second benefit is in the concept of not being limited, I think, by what you're working on right now or solving the right now problem. By being able to take that thing you're working on and put it in the context of your larger ecosystem or your larger yearly plan and making sure that you're considering the long term when making decisions in that quick moment about what you're going to do to address what you're working on.
Okay.
Well, the other thing, sorry, when you're working with a consultant, if they're, I just don't think it feels good as a nonprofit or as a consultant to be like, I had this really cool idea. I'm not sure if it, and for the consultant to just be like, that's not in the scope of work. So you can just put that idea to the side, whatever you want, next person, it's not in the scope of work. I just think that that is for, there could be a lot of technical reasons why, you know, for build purposes that you do want to consider that big, great idea, even if you can't work on it right now. But I just think it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Like, oh, okay. That's like a big no to my cool idea I was sharing with you. So you might, I like the organizations and people I've worked with who foster conversation around that and sometimes write it down in a parking lot.
Right. I think that makes a ton of sense. So I'm a nonprofit. And I have an idea that I think I need better tech for. The thing you wrote down, which I'm looking at, says dream big about it. I'm not sure I understand how to dream big about technology. If I'm looking at my need, it obviously one solution doesn't fit everything. But what's the difference between a big project versus just buying a new piece of software to do the thing that I wanted to do, which
It's a great question. I am going to sum this up in my little tagline that I have for myself, which is 90% mindset, 10% technical. When a nonprofit is approaching a need, sometimes the words like I need a new CRM will happen, but I think more powerfully, more often people are saying, I really need a better way to do my work. I am like reaching out to people and my colleague reached out to them already, or I lost track of, you know, this notes for this constituent and I'm going into a meeting. I really need those notes. Like I just need better ways to do my work and to connect with people and drive towards our mission. That is where the, that's where the dreaming big comes in. I'm getting excited thinking about it, that you don't have to dream big about your what your technology does. In the end, you can pretty much say with any time and money, technology can do nearly anything you want it to do. Oh, okay. So don't dream big necessarily about the tech. Dream big about what how you want your work to go. Dream big about what you want your impact to be. Don't feel limited. And one very simple way I like to do this sometimes is to open up a spreadsheet, Excel, Google Sheets, and hit the remove grid lines feature. So now you're looking at a blank white page, basically. We get really, and this is not a bad thing, but when we know technology, we know our systems even semi well, but especially there's the expertise trap when you know them very well, you can get limited in your thinking by the limitations of that particular software. And we'll miss a lot of great opportunities if we don't break out of those limitations and think big and dream big.
Well, I like the distinction you make, dream big about what you want to accomplish, not necessarily about the technology used to accomplish it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that makes a ton of sense to me. So what else would you tell a nonprofit that needs a tech consultant? What kinds of things should they be asking? What should they be looking for? Stuff like that.
I I think they should be looking at a breadth of work that they would be interested in and talk to their potential consultants about it. So maybe you have the funds to hire a consultant for some of your work in your CRM, but you've been also working on the side on like a scheduling tool and making processes better for your end of year reviews. And you think maybe there's a connection. There's no reason to not talk to your potential consultants about everything you're doing. Hopefully your consultant can give you honest answers about what's their expertise and what they do, but they might know people to put you in touch with. They might have, you know, just experience with this that they can give you some tips and tricks. So I again, it's sort of like, don't limit yourself by just saying we need a single tech thing. So we probably should only talk to our consultant about that.
Right.
And I think it might be telling for the nonprofit. Some may like this, some may not. It's not my preferred way. That if you try to bring some of those things up and feel dismissed by the consultant, not dismissed like I can't do that under our contract, we have to, you know, talk about it, but dismissed in saying, why would you bring that up? This is not my work or something else. I think that could be very telling to what the relationship will be.
Okay. Which leads me to my last question for you today, which is, do I need a statement of work with my consultant? I mean, obviously something gets documented, something gets signed. Is that scope supposed to be to the letter set in stone, or it, can the scope be flexible?
If there's a consultant's guild that has the answer I'm supposed to give, I don't know it. I can say personally, I have been counseled many times by my peers and my business coach and others who I respect and take advice on many things from them to be more specific in my scopes of work for my own contracts with clients. And I typically go to clients and say, the reason I'm not being more specific is because I've been in this game so long, I know we're going to change. And I like the change. I don't mind the pivot. If we're working on something and we need to switch to something else because something has come up, I enjoy being part of that switch and being able to go on that journey with you. I'm in it as hopefully as a team member for the time I'm with the nonprofit.
Sure. And so, there's nothing that says that you can't add an addendum to a scope anyway. I mean, that's, you know, a revision to a scope is not exactly unheard of. So
I'm sure that is totally correct. Yes, that definitely makes sense. I personally, as the person, you know, working as a consultant, don't want to have to spend too much time on revisiting the scope. And I typically work on more of like kind of a project-based or monthly retainer-based system so that we don't have to also talk about rescoping hours.
Yeah. Good stuff, Emily. If a nonprofit wanted to talk to you about securing you as a consultant or getting advice on how to find one, how would you suggest they contact you?
They can go to my website. It's called maketechworkforyou.com, or they can email me at emily@maketechworkforyou.com.
Excellent. One last question before we say goodbye. Tell me about the computer challenge. I know we talked about this briefly in our other episode, but what is the computer challenge?
Okay. It's officially called the Shut Down Your Computer at Night Challenge. 5 days challenge to be part of a community of people who are struggling with some aspects of their relationship with tech, such as their email inbox, having too many tabs open, having too many programs running, fear of updates, anything that would keep you from shutting your computer down, which, as we talked about previously, can resolve 80 to 90% of tech issues when they arise. So we get 5 days of content and group discussion around, you know, topics like managing your inbox or managing your tabs, which I have coined the phrase tab zero as part of this work, and some inspirational messaging as well in community.
There are actual benefits to shutting down the, not just the machine, but all your software within it. I mean, there are real technological benefits to doing this every night. It's not just a spiritual exercise, but it's a real technological discipline.
Yes, although I think the challenge is way more spiritual in discipline than it is in technology. It's just harder to, you know, it's so easy to press that button, right? You just move your hand and press it. But it's really kind of hard to get yourself to do it if you're facing some challenges with your workload.
Right.
But yes, one thing, the big one great advantage of shutting your computer down at any point is if you can get one of those air spray cans and clean your computer. It's still a physical thing that needs some love, and cleaning the computer can be a very rewarding experience.
Yeah, no, it makes a ton of sense. And that's on your website, make tech work for you. It's actually in your signature as well, but the 5-day shutdown your computer challenge. I think that's brilliant. Emily, thanks for making the time to do this recording with me. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I hope we get to do more of these in the future.
I hope so too, Mickey. Thanks so much.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode. We invite you to be a part of these conversations. If you have an idea for the program or would like to be a guest on a future episode, please drop us a line via our website, nonprofitsnapcast.org. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.